Well, good morning, everyone. So great to see you here. My name is Marcus. I'm one of the assistant ministers here at St. George North. I'm just so glad to see you all here today. It's fantastic. I hope you can come back on Sunday too, because Easter Sunday is probably the greatest sequel of all time. But today is Good Friday. It's Good Friday, a day that remembers the world's most famous death. A famous death because, as so many of us know, Jesus died on the cross. Yes, we know. It's so famous. But what comes to your mind when you think of famous deaths? What comes to your mind when you think of famous deaths? I reckon that most of us probably think of something that's tragic, but also something that is symbolic too. Like the death of Julius Caesar. Now that's a famous death. We should have a picture of Caesar up on the screen. Yeah, there he is. The man who conquered the world and led the Roman Republic, murdered by men who conspired together against him to try and keep Rome ruled by the Republic. Does anyone remember that famous line that supposedly he said right at the end? Anyone remember? Et tu, Brute? Never said it, apparently. I found that out this week. Complete lie. Shakespeare probably made it up. But that's not the only famous death, is it? When I think of famous deaths, the person I think of is Martin Luther King Jr. Now, MLK, he was one of the most influential men in one of the most influential countries of all time. And he wanted to see an America, not just America, but a whole world that treated people of different races the same. And even though he was assassinated, his death is often seen as the turning point of the civil rights movement. And yet, if we take a step back and think about both of these deaths for just a second, while they may have had momentary effects, ultimately, they were in vain. Because the Roman Republic became the Roman Empire. They tried to kill Caesar to maintain the power of the Senate, to maintain the power of the Republic, but then an emperor became the ruler. And we still see racism in the world today, don't we? But what I'm telling you today is that Jesus' death, the world's most famous death, Jesus' Good Friday's death on the cross, doesn't only change the world, but it can change your world too. It can change your world if you choose to accept it, like so many of us here today already have. But how can the cross of Christ do this? Well, firstly, Jesus' death can change your world because it was planned. And I don't mean like those deaths I mentioned before. It wasn't just a conspiracy. And you know, people did conspire against Jesus. Even his best friend Judas, not his best friend, but one of his good friends, Judas, was in on the plan. But Jesus' death had actually been planned since the beginning of time. Because did you notice in the two readings from the Bible that we just had that they both basically say the same thing? Even as I was sitting there reading them one more time, I thought, didn't we just read this? We're reading the same thing again and again. But just scan your eyes over them and you'll see that in both it says that by his wounds we are healed. And in both it says that there's no deceit found in his mouth. And then in both, it says, we all like sheep have wandered away. And so what is going on? Were these two parts of the Bible written by two blokes working on the same assignment together, hoping that they could basically write the same thing without getting caught? Because all I'm going to say is that the plagiarism detection software is going to go wild on this one. Well, it's helpful to know that Isaiah, who wrote our first reading, and Peter, who wrote the second, they didn't know each other. They weren't friends. Peter, he was a friend of Jesus. He saw Jesus' life. He saw his Jesus' ministry. He lived with Jesus. He saw the miracles. He saw Jesus die. And then he saw Jesus after he had risen from the dead. But Isaiah was different. Isaiah never met Jesus. He never saw Jesus in the distance. He never even heard the name of Jesus. And that's because Isaiah lived over 500 years before Jesus rocked up on the scene. And so when we read Peter, Peter wants the plagiarism detection software to go off in our minds. Because Jesus' death is no ordinary death. It was God's plan all along. Peter is trying to show us that. Not a plan that God came up with only 500 years before Jesus arrived, but from the very first pages of the Bible. See, Jesus' death was no accident. It was God's plan all along. In fact, it was Jesus' plan all along, all part of God's plan to send us a Savior, someone who can save us. But why? Why do we need a Savior? Why did God need a plan? Can't we just change the world? Can't we just change our own world by ourselves? Well, the other thing we need to see about the world's most famous death is that it was painful. It was painful. So take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, the second reading. And I should say, we'll spend the rest of our time in 1 Peter now. So if I say a verse number, just look there. But if you've got the chance later today, go home and read that Isaiah passage and see what it shows us about what Jesus has done. But anyway, verse 21 of 1 Peter says this: "For you were called to this because Christ also," he did what? "He suffered for you." And then again, take a look at verse 23. "When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten." Now, if you've ever wondered if God cares about suffering, know this. Jesus, God in human flesh, suffered. He suffered on the cross. He went through suffering himself because Jesus' death was painful. In fact, crucifixion, death on the cross, is designed to kill people by causing them as much pain as possible. Not just for a little while, but for as long as possible. The way Jesus died was gruesome. It was torturous. It was drawn out. And it was just completely horrible. And that's if you just went through it normally. But as Peter's trying to tell us, this was no normal death. Because take a look at verse 24. Verse 24. "He himself," that's Jesus, "bore our sins in his body on the tree." See, Jesus' death wasn't simply the usual Roman torture experience. No, on Good Friday, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus hung there, he bore our sins in his body. And he took the punishment that we deserve, that you and I deserve. And each of us deserve it because of that tiny little word there, the thing that Jesus bore in his body on the cross. Sins. Such a little word, and yet so often it's misunderstood. Because we think of sins as these grievous wrongs done against other people. So murder, obviously a sin, because not only does it cause physical harm, but it ends the opportunity for someone to keep living. And then we might think of greed, holding on to money, because even though there's no direct physical harm, it leaves people hungry and on the street. But sin is bigger and even worse than murder and greed and other things we might think of. Because what sin is at its core is cosmic treason. Cosmic treason. Have you ever heard of King Leonard of Hutt? This bloke up on the screen. He was a man from Western Australia, and he didn't like the government. He didn't want to pay his taxes. He wanted to live according to his own rules, his own bylaws. And so he tried to set up his own country within Western Australia. And you know, the tourists loved it. They'd come, they'd get their passport stamped. It was all a bit of fun, right? Something that seemed harmless. But what if everyone did the same thing? What if everyone tried to live by their own rules, to make decisions about what they would do? It would be chaos, right? People would just be getting hurt left, right, and center. But that's what this word sin captures. That we, each and every one of us, tried to put ourselves in charge when God was the rightful king. See, our hearts and minds, our whole lives have turned against God. And that happens not only when we murder, but when we do things that we're ashamed of, or when we do things that hurt other people, whether we mean it or not. In fact, as humans, we so naturally try to get God out of the picture that when he came in human flesh, we went so far as to kill him on a cross. And that's what happened 2,000 years ago. And so no wonder our world is so messed up. It's the result of everyone trying to live by their own rules, including us. We've all done it. I can guarantee you that I've done things I regret, things that have hurt others, things I've said that I wish I could take back. And I'm sure you're the same. We've all done it. And because of this, we deserve judgment. We deserve punishment. We deserve God's wrath, his justice. Because God wouldn't be good if he just swept it under the rug, would he? And so we live now awaiting sentencing, don't we? But that's where the Good Friday hope comes in. This is why it's called Good Friday. Because look at verse 24 again. He himself bore our sins. He took our sins into his body. He took the punishment for our sins. He took the wrath of God for our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. Do you want to know why Jesus did this? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. It's all in that famous Bible verse. I'm sure most of us have heard it at some point in our life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish or face condemnation, but have eternal life, life with God as it was meant to be. Is there something in your past that you're ashamed of? Jesus died for you. Is there something you've done that's caused hurt of any magnitude? Jesus died for you. Whatever you've done, Jesus died for you. And so what do we do to sort this out? How do we make Jesus' death for us count for us? Is there some kind of ritual that we need to perform? Or do we need to go out and start doing enough good things to weigh up the bad things that we've done in the past? Well, no. Because if there was something that we could have done to make it right, Jesus wouldn't have needed to die. But instead, we need to accept that Jesus paid the price in full. Because take a look at verse 22. He did not commit sin. See, already he's doing so much better than us. But then take a look at what it says next. And no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. See, Jesus was sin-free. Which just makes it so much more wild that we killed him, right? But that means because he was sin-free, he could pay the price in full. The payment needed to save us from judgment was a perfect life. And we don't have one. And so we need a perfect person to step up in our place. And that's what Jesus does when he gives his life on the cross. He pays the price in full. At times, the Bible will speak about our sin like debt, or how we would think about getting a fine for speeding or for littering. And the fine for cosmic treason isn't cheap. It's taking the wrath of God that we deserve. But Jesus, on the cross, pays that debt for us. And he paid it in full on that Good Friday 2,000 years ago. Which means that when you trust Jesus, when you put your faith in him, there's nothing you need to do to pay off that debt. Because imagine you're sitting in the offices of Revenue New South Wales. You know, the place where you have to go to pay off fines. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there once. But someone walks in and wants to pay off their speeding ticket. But in reality, they have no money. They've got nothing. They can't pay it off. But they rock up to the counter and the person says, "Don't worry, it's all sorted. Your debt's been paid in full." But then they start pulling out their wallet and flicking through it, and the person at the counter says, "Don't worry, it's all sorted. Your debt has been paid in full." But then they keep trying to look through their wallet and they're pulling out like Monopoly money or a paddle pop stick that gets them a free paddle pop stick. And the person at the counter says, "Don't worry, your debt has been paid in full." See, if you accept Jesus' suffering in your place by trusting in him, you will be saved. Your debt is paid in full. But if we keep trying to pay it off ourselves, if we keep pulling out our wallet, pulling out our good deeds, that actually means we haven't accepted Jesus' suffering on our behalf. And instead, we're trying to put our trust in ourselves, but we can't pay it off. And so we don't do extra things in order to be saved. No, we accept Jesus' suffering on our behalf by trusting in him. Not just as our Saviour, but as our King and as our Shepherd, our Guide. See how it puts it in verse 25. "For you were like sheep going astray, but you have now," what have we done? "We've returned to the Shepherd and overseer of our souls. And just like with a shepherd, we follow our king where he tells us to go." Most of us here, we know this, don't we? But so often, it's so easy to sink back into that old mentality that we need to prove to God that we deserve his love. Don't. Don't slip into that old mentality. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, on the cross of Christ. Let him be your Saviour. And so do you see how the world's most famous death is unlike any other? It was planned, it was painful, and it paid our debt in full. And if you put your trust in Jesus, if you let him pay your debt and return to the shepherd and overseer of your soul, you can be certain that you will not face God's wrath. And that's life-changing news, isn't it? That is a death that can change your world. And so if you haven't already, will you put your trust in Jesus? Will you accept his suffering in your place today? And will you live with him as your shepherd and king once again? Up on the screen is a prayer. It's not a series of magical words, but it's a simple prayer to ask Jesus to be your Saviour and your King. And we pray prayers like this because God is personal. When you trust in Jesus, you can talk to God. And so will you pray this prayer with me? I'm going to pray each line and leave a gap afterwards for you to say it in the quietness of your own heart and mind. And after we say Amen, I'll let you know about some other things that we're doing as a church. But will you pray this prayer with me now? Let's pray. Dear God, I have tried to rule my own life and I have not listened to you. I am sorry. Please accept Jesus' suffering on my behalf. Help me to follow him as my shepherd and live with him as my king. Amen. Now, if that's the first time you've prayed a prayer like that, I want to say, welcome to God's family. Because the world's most famous death, the death of Jesus on the cross, you can be sure that you have been forgiven. Most of us in the room have made this decision before, and I think you'll be hard pressed to find anyone who regrets it. And we as a church would love more than anything to help you get started with living as Jesus as your shepherd and king. And so on your outline, let us know. Just write down, prayed, and we will get in touch with you and help you to start following Jesus. And Phil's going to let us know a bit later on. He already told us you can pop it in the box during our last song, but he'll give us a reminder later. But maybe you're not quite there yet, right? Maybe you've got big questions, or you're just suspicious about the whole Jesus thing. Well, why don't you plan to come to Life? The Life course is designed to help people make an informed decision about Jesus. Jesus claims he can give your life greater purpose and unquestionable meaning, as well as saving you from sin, like we've talked about today. And so we run the Life course to help you make an informed decision about Jesus. And so if you're still on the fence, or even if you're on the complete other side of the paddock, come along to the Life course. Plan to be there, put it in your diary, the dates are up on the screen, 4 Sunday afternoons starting on the 17th of May. And if you're keen to come, let us know. There's a box on the outline that you can tick to say, help me get there. We'd love to see you there. I'll see you there. I'll be there. It's going to be a great time. But in the end, the world's most famous death gives us so much to be thankful for, doesn't it? The punishment for our sin dealt with because Jesus bore our sin in his body on the cross. And with that comes the promise of new life in the resurrection, the greatest sequel. But unfortunately, that's Sunday, so I'm going to have to leave it there. But for now, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for that famous death, the cross of Christ. We praise you for sending the perfect Jesus who fully paid the price for us. Lord, we pray for those who have trusted in you today. Thank you for your kindness to them. Help us as a church to love them and point them to your Son as they seek to live for him. And God, don't make us complacent. Let us meditate on the cross so that we might continue to be transformed by your life-saving work. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.